I nearly said a naughty thing, but I was just delighted we had that song just then, because, you know, we do pay a lot of attention to Christmas, much less than the Bible does. When Paul wrote to Corinth, he said there's one thing he was going to preach. That was not the incarnation. It was Christ crucified. And I think we need to bring our thoughts back to the wonder of our salvation in the Lord Jesus. Yes, he had to be born, and it's wonderful and glorious, and praise God for that. But how wonderful. That is the thing we have up there. Not a crib, but a cross. That's the symbol of our faith. That's what Jesus has done for you and for me. That's the cause of our hallelujahs. Amen. Well, now... Has it? No, it hasn't. The title for tonight is Paul's Ambition and Ours. And I wondered, are we meant to be ambitious? So I won't walk around with this thing, but anyone like to say, what do you think? Should we be ambitious? Is that right for a Christian to be ambitious? Yes. Oh, I thought we had a singer again to wake you up. Yes, why? I mean, surely it sounds wrong. The people outside in the world are ambitious, aren't they? They climb the ladder of success. That's the driving force. I don't know how many you've met over this Christmas period who are sort of obviously looking for promotions and advancements. They're ambitious. Is that right? Is that a good thing to be for a Christian?
Not selfish ambition.
Ah. Right, what sort of ambition should we have then?
I knew you'd come back and ask.
Well, you're awake, you see. I just, the others are sort of, let's have a little talk, shall we, while they're...
Ambitious to see the Lord's kingdom come, to see his kingdom growing, being extended.
Yes, right.
To play your part in it.
Right. Any ideas? Why not be simple? Say, ambitious for Christ. That would cover all that you said just nicely and just without having to itemize it. But are you ambitious for Christ? That's the sort of question. But before I do that, look at that, because we will look at that in a moment or two, I just want to see the setting of this particular passage of Scripture. When Paul speaks here about his ambition, he said he has an ambition not to do something. He's driven to do something or not to do something. And what he's not going to do is go around and preach the gospel in other people's territory. He knew very well that he'd not evangelized Rome, that other people had established the church in Rome. He didn't mind writing his letters to people like those at Ephesus and Corinth and the churches in Galatia and so on, because he had established churches there, and he was willing, therefore, to express to them their need to grow. But to Rome, he had not established the church. Others had done that, and he said, I have this ambition that I won't go treading on their toes. But you know, Paul's a bit naughty. He can't get away with it, can he? Because he wrote at the beginning, you see, all about his greetings to those at Rome. And he said, I long to come and visit you. And then off he went with this glorious letter of his, with probably the deepest letter about the theology of our Christian faith. He just couldn't resist it, could he? he virtually did do what he said he wasn't going to do. He said, I won't build on other people's work. But in actual fact, thank God he did write this wonderful letter. But let's just see that. That's what it's saying there. I am going to be corrected, but I believe that's what it's saying there, that in fact he's not going to. As he goes on to say that a little later on, and verse we didn't read, that he said, no, I'm not going to preach where other people have laid the foundation. So we need to bear that in mind when we're going to see about our boasting. Because, you see, I think we can be in danger of doing what Paul determined not to do. Because sometimes we do things that are not really our position to do. So that first of all calls us to say, what is God's calling to you? What is God's gifting to you? What is God wanting you to do? I'll tell you one thing he's not called me to do, and I, in one sense, regret it. I'm not being called to evangelize, not in the sense of being an evangelist. It doesn't mean to say I shouldn't witness. Of course I should witness. But I have often got up and preached with an evangelistic heart. And everybody sits there just like you're sitting there now, just looking, so what do you want about Eric? And no one bats an eyelid. And I've said, if I'd actually preached like Billy Graham did, you know how Billy Graham used to preach, opening his Bible, I wouldn't do it with this, it would break it, but bringing both ends back like that, he held, didn't he, how he preached. And if I preached the same sermon as Billy Graham preached, in the same way that he preached it, no one would respond. At one time it worried me because, you see, I would love to preach the gospel like that and have people respond. But that is not my calling. I do believe it's Jonty's. I believe Jonty has been called to evangelize that way. Praise God for that. But I haven't. I have to seek what is my calling. So if I'm stupid, I try to preach the gospel. I try and give an opportunity and I think I'll do it. And it doesn't work. And Paul said, no, I'm not going to do that. So first challenge to you tonight and to me is, do you know what God has called you to do? That glorious end in Ephesians there, it says every part is doing their bit, therefore the body grows. We believe that, don't we? So are we, first of all, knowing what our job is? There's no excuse to say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Praise God, you're a Christian. That's a good start. And yes, praise God, you should be witnessing. Yes, praise God for that. But what part in the Church of Jesus Christ has God called you to do? If you don't know, do something about it. Find out. After this service, there will be two people in the prayer chapel. You might like to share with them, to say, I would, please you help me pray, that I may discern what God is saying. Because Paul had worked out that he wasn't an evangelist for Rome. That wasn't his job. He longed to go to Rome, he says so. He planned to do so on one of his trips, but it never came about. He went in a different way. So find out, what is your role? And then don't try and do somebody else's. Don't try and do something else. I think there's an excuse. Please don't take that as an excuse. Just hang on a moment. Don't think, therefore, I can sit back and do nothing because I mustn't tread on somebody else's toes. I think, really, it's worth trying to do somebody else's job and they're not doing anything at all. I think it's not too bad when I've tried to evangelize. It's not too bad. It's better that I get on with what God has called me to do. Can you hear me in that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Please, do find out what God has for you. It's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful when you think, oh, that's what I should be doing? It may not be very big in some people's eyes. My job isn't particularly very big. I just tell you this to encourage you. When I was called to the ministry, I went to a church which had a funny small denomination, and I was interviewed by someone to see if I was a fit to be the pastor in this church. And the man who interviewed me, he was a pastor of a church of probably about 1,000, something like that. he wrote a number of books. He lectured. He traveled around the world. And he was, I mean, what he did was tremendous. And he said to me, Mr. Christie, you're taking on this church, and what's the membership? I said, about 30. And he said, oh, yeah, what are you doing the rest of your time? I felt probably less than that. I was going there, and I said, well, I'm going to work full-time for 30 people. And this man was ministering to... I've had to get over that. I've had to get to the place where, God, you called me there. That's what, he made me that size. That's the size he made me to fit into that church. It's no good fitting into the... You're trying to fit in where you're not meant to be. So I tell you, I had to learn that lesson. I had to learn I'm not a man to minister to 1,000. God never permitted that to me. I can dream about it, but I can't do it. So can I say that to you? Follow Paul's advice here. Find out what your job is and then do it. But we did, we must use the word ambition, because he did have a tremendous ambition. He really did. And we should do too. We just learned that we should be ambitious for Jesus Christ. Can we just look at one or two verses for that? I mean, let's turn to this wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 3. That's on page 195. Verse 12 of Philippians 3. Not I have already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Can you hear that word? That word strive, the same word there. He had an ambition. We just mentioned now whether we might be thinking of new resolutions. I would suggest you just have a revolution. Revolution and a resolution. Not just a new year one, but a daily desire, daily striving, a daily ambition to press on. You're asked, what do you hope for this coming year? I don't know how honest and brave you were, but I hope that in the days to come, you can say, I am pressing on. I'm going to look back and see, this last year was okay, but I'm pressing on. I asked myself as I was preparing these few thoughts, how do I do that? How can I? Because I don't know about any of you here, but I'm lazy. You didn't hear that, did you? But it's true. Somebody here would agree. I am by nature very lazy. I'd rather not to do it if I can avoid it. So how am I going to do this? If you have any tendency to be towards being lazy, just listen to this for a moment or two with me, because I've learnt, I've had to do something about it. We tend to blame our parents, don't we, for an awful lot, and I had very good parents. The trouble was they were too good, in a way, particularly my mother, and if Eric, your boy, didn't want to do it, Mummy managed to help. And because of that, built into me this laziness, which I, as I've grown up, I've had to try and do something about. And I believe a lot of us have that streak in us. If we can avoid it, we will. So how can I overcome that? How can I be ambitious for Jesus? How can I follow the example of Paul? I think there are two things I would like to bring to you. One you think you'd already guess, but I don't know, probably guess them both. But let's just turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, which is on page 178. Verse 14. Find it. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. This version slightly, I think, lessens the pressure there. For the love of Christ urges, constrains us. There's another word for it used there. The love of Christ constrains us. Do you want to be ambitious for Jesus? Look at the cross. Look at the cross daily. And let the love of Christ constrain you. If Jesus did that for you, if Jesus paid the price for you, if his love was such that he prepared to go to the cross, let that love constrain you. It isn't I must go and witness. It isn't, oh no, this coming soon, and John 2 will be calling for people to go door to door. I better go. I want to go. Why? Only because Jesus loves me, and that love has driven me. I'm not driven by my own personal ambition. I'm driven by the love of Jesus that gives me that ambition. We need to wait upon God to learn how deeply he loves us. We need to come back to the foot of the cross. Just think again what it meant to Jesus. Go to Gethsemane and hear his love cry. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours. The agony of facing becoming sin for us. Was there no other way? He loves you that much. Let that love constrain you to be ambitious for Jesus. And the second point, very closely linked, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As you open your heart to the love of God, you will find the Holy Spirit ministers to you, and he is the one who gives you that ambition. And not only does he give you the ambition, but he gives you the ability to do it. You know, really and truly, when sometimes on a Sunday an announcement is made, we've got a special service coming, a good opportunity, Andrew is very good at telling us that, a good opportunity to invite our friends. How do we move in our hearts? Do we say, amen? Amen. I long. Jesus, I long. Or do we think, what am I doing that day? Have we a love? Are we allowing the Spirit to stir us? Paul's life is a challenge to us, isn't it? And it's teaching as well. Teaching, he says, I have an ambition. He had a strong desire. Why? Because Jesus was precious to him. The love of God constrained him, and the Spirit of God empowered him. Friends, let that be our experience. Let's pray. Father, we do have to admit that so often we find good excuses just to carry on at a sort of level that passes muster, as it were. We don't get criticized, and when we come to confession, we'd quite happily say, you're sorry. But Lord, we have to confess that we don't really feel that we're on fire. We don't feel very often we're being constrained by the immense love of Jesus Christ. We don't often feel moved by your Spirit. And tonight we say we are deeply sorry for that. Because Jesus died for us, Father, we say we want to live for him. May it be so. Amen.